Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Heblet snake. Good morning to the Gurgan tiger. Good morning to the fetid waters of the swamp of future past Sundays. It is Sunday, March the 30th, if you can believe it, 2025, Bob Limpdoc. And it's just after 6 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. You know, it wasn't until about 10 years ago I began to understand why people cut themselves. I really never understood it. Like, I knew that people had psychological issues, I get that, and, you know, they would cut themselves. But there's a difference between knowing and understanding. And in recent weeks, I think to myself, I feel an unlimited amount of rage towards a lot of folks. And I don't mean random. I don't mean I want to harm anybody. Not really. Because the people I'm thinking about might not even be real. In fact, if you want to know what Trump derangement syndrome is, it's really quite simple. If you give any of these make-believe people, any of them, I don't care if it's George Soros, Donald Trump, Biden, who or what that was, Kamala Harris, Obama, Bill Gates, Elon Musk or Gusk, if you give these people power by hating them or loving them, I think that's the mistake and that's the TDS. I think that these are probably a lot of fake people. And if you think they have power, that shows you you're part of a cult. You're not really part of any type of community. You worship things. You ask for cargo. In a lot of ways, you're simply in a cargo cult. No, Dan, I'm Mega Man. No, you're not. Not when you're telling me that Trump is magically lowering the prices of eggs, because you leave out the silent part. In what type of free enterprise economy does anybody have the power to lower the price of eggs? It's so absurd. And then I think about what they told me in college. You remember when college was better, according to Blump? There are three types of goods. Luxury, the rich get those. Normal, everybody gets those. And inferior. And according to the standards of the time of the early 1990s, food was technically an inferior good because everybody gets to have food, even the poorest of the poor. You have to look back upon your life at the lies you were told sometimes and maybe even ask, how bad is it, right? But I get it now. I understand it. If you can't turn your rage and your clawing outwards, if you can't claw out the eyes of the evil, then you end up clawing yourself or you let go of the hate. These are not real people, folks. Donald Trump, whoever, whatever he is, he might be a real person in the sense that his name is Donald Trump, but that might be the only thing about him that is real. And that applies to the people who are at war with him. That applies to the people that surround him. Who the fuck knows who RFK Jr. is? You know, I saw a picture of him hanging out with Rabbi Herpes in New York City, and I thought to myself, Rabbi Shmuley Booley, he is. I mean, if you say to yourself, does it look like he has herpes? No. Rabbi Shmuley looks like he's 100% herpes. So people say, well, RFK Jr., he's Make America Healthy Again, blah, blah, blah. And he's certainly talking a good talk, but that's also the purpose, right? So I get it. I understand it. If someone comes up to me and says, Dan, I cut myself, I bite myself, I punch myself. When I wake up in the morning, I pinch myself, I harm myself. And why? Because I don't know what else to do. And this is the same reason why many other creatures, not just humans, in captivity, will mutilate. They'll mutilate themselves. Why? Because they want to know if they're still alive. Because in this manufactured fake reality of food that isn't really like it used to be, of air that's not nearly like it used to be, of blue skies, and I haven't really seen one in about 20 fucking years. Oh, Dan, look at my picture on my smartphone. Look at that blue sky. But you drive there. You drive to that exact same spot, and what you see is that smeared out schmungus. You don't see blue. You see light, light blue, off-white blue, but you don't actually see blue. The phone shows you blue. You ever ask questions about that? Imagine there's a fallen angel. There's a fallen angel, and it lives in Jerusalem. It has a demon army. It has a demon general. It rules over the wasteland. It is king of despair. Imagine there's a fallen angel in Israel. And it doesn't want gold. It doesn't want oil. It couldn't give a shit about computers or the internet. It doesn't want hookers and cocaine. There's a fallen angel in Israel, and all it wants is pain. Israel is a pain machine. The fallen angel and its demons demand that the great soup bowl be refilled from time to time. So harvest the suffering. Harvest the pain. Harvest that Joe Rogan. Go insane. Drop the bomb. Does it really matter if you're at 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile, baby? That's a shit ton of suffering, literally. If you knew an adult human being, and that adult human being commits a crime. And I don't mean an ordinary stealing stuff kind of crime. I mean a violent crime. Not Keen Tesla, Mr. Softheart, Puddle Flower Mega Man. I mean an actual horrible crime, a violent crime against another person. Maybe they just beat them up. Maybe they stabbed them and the person's still alive. But for purposes, let's just say this human being killed another person. And in the court of law, the presumed guilty person or innocent, no matter how you think the justice system works now, in that court of law, the assumed criminal, the defendant, gives a speech at the end. And he says, listen, my dad beat me. My mama fed me bleach chips. My older brother, he would hit me at night with a pillowcase filled with bars of soap. That's why I killed him. That's why I stabbed him. Mr. McGillipson, everybody loved him, but he reminded me of my dad. I was in the military, and not a long time, and I was never in combat. I spent a year in Korea and some change. I was in the military. And one of the things you find out in the military is that it attracts a lot of broken people. And you don't always find out about it immediately, because the great thing about basic training is it kind of indoctrinates you to eat up your feelings and poop them out as bullets, right? Which, again, you need that. If you're going to go around killing people, you better do that. Eat up your pain and poop it out as bullets. And the one thing I found that was almost always true, and I shouldn't say almost always, but let's say 60 to 70% of the time, there was abuse. And you have to ask yourself, okay, if a person is deeply abused, and as a kid, is that a legitimate excuse for anything like murder or rape? Or worse, if you've been keeping up with the Epstein trauma drama since 2019, you could say, or worse, you know? Is that an excuse? Do you let the person get off? I know a lot of people in my personal life that have suffered different kinds of abuse, psychological, physical, or both. Is that an excuse to harm people? Because if it isn't an excuse to harm people, then why the fuck do we let the state of Israel and Zionists get away with the bullshit they get away with? You ever wonder about that? We're constantly told, well, it's because of the Holocaust. It's because of what they did to us. You remember what they did to us? That's why we're dropping 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. Because, you know, on 10-7, using the lightning attack tactics of, you know, whatever, paragliders with crew-served weapons. We're in fantasy land now. They magically snuck up on the greatest army in the history of the Middle East, but on that particular day, they weren't quite so good. So you're left with basically two options. 10-7 was 100% bullshit, a false flag, a setup, or the IDF is retarded. You can choose one or the other. You can't really choose both, you know. If you want to tell me that there's a history of abuse, fine, let's talk it out. Let's actually solve the problem. But at the end of the day, when I think about it, when I really, really think about it, people who are sociopaths will use their own pain that they say they have, which they really don't. And that's the key. They do a good job acting. They can cry on demand. But they'll use that excuse to harm people in the worst ways imaginable. And that's the difference between a good person and a bad person. It really is. If you wanted a way to split between people who are sociopathic monsters and ordinary people who might be a little broken, it's really quite this simple. Broken people who are actually people with souls do not use their brokenness to break others. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Broken people don't take their pain and put it into a cannon and go out and harm other random people so they can spread their pain. What type of person does that? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If someone uses suffering, real or not, to create more suffering, then maybe they're not so, good people. If someone gets stabbed, and so they pick up a knife and find a random person to stab, maybe it would have been, do a better job next time, right? Yes, there's a theme to today's podcast, sort of. There's a theme. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Zionism is worse than a simple death cult. It is, in fact, a cult of suffering. This is the thing. You could say that there are different cults or cult-like systems that are about pain. I really do think that's the case. And you could argue that pain as an instrument of control is a part of every cult. Different kinds of pain. Pain that is used to manipulate, pain that is inflicted, pain and suffering. And cults of suffering are really subclasses of sadomasochistic cults. And, you know, if you go back to the time of Abraham, you go back about 3,000 or 4,000 years, you know, way, way, way back, right? Almost to the beginning. I bet in his world, religion, for most people, is a lot like what's happening in the state of Israel today. It was horrific. You know, amongst the Semitic peoples, you had many types of religion. You had various types of cults. Sometimes they would build these, you know, these cows, these bulls, actually a bull. They'd make a bull out of bronze. But it would be hollow on the inside so you could put a child in there. And every once in a while, they would cook a child in the bronze bull. So you could argue they were worshiping something, but not the Lord named Hesed, probably. In that world, probably most religious systems use pain, use death, use violence as a means to summon power. And Abraham, for whatever reason, well, we know the reason, he wasn't born like that. You see, he felt pain. He probably felt broken. When he got so old and felt like he was dried up, he thought, my life is over, probably. But did he go around trying to harm other people? He was the father of a people. he was the first one in a lot of ways. Yeah, you could say Adam was first, but when you think about Judaism, in a lot of ways, Abraham was the first. Did he spend a lot of time wanting to harm people? Well, listen, there were some cases. We know about some cases, one of which involving, you know, circumcision. So let's not lie. There was violence. There were cases, a few. But for the most part, that was not his motivation, right? His motivation was survival, and if he felt pain, it didn't appear as if he felt a need to direct it at others. What kind of people turn their pain into a machine gun? What kind of people go around collecting pain? When I look at Gaza, I call it retarded for a bunch of reasons, but understand this. If you're going to tell me that the Palestinians are idiots or not as civilized, blah, 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 fine. What do you do with the pulverized rubble that is likely very toxic, given your logic? What do you do with that? You instantly clean it up? Probably it takes you 20 years. 20 years to clean up that shit. And that's assuming you can find people who want to wear a mask all day, you know, or some type of mask, because the dust ain't going to be so healthy. If I follow your chain of reasoning, Mr. and Mrs. Zionist. So it's retarded, but then what if you ask what is the purpose? If the purpose is gold, it's retarded. If the purpose is land, I kind of think it's retarded compared to the slow roll they were doing, which was working. If the purpose is oil or natural gas, it's kind of retarded. But if the purpose is to collect the pain of the world, it's kind of fucking brilliant. Because by doing this, by creating this open wound, by stabbing the world, it wasn't just that Gazans have been treated like garbage and murdered and massacred. It's not just that these Palestinians are being obliterated, but that people with souls can feel it. And even from far away, that giant soup bowl kept by the weird fallen angel can be refilled continuously. I know it sounds crazy the way I'm describing this. But I don't see anything productive about what they've done unless the purpose of the production was pain. You know, pain and suffering. And there's some giant antenna tuned to evil somewhere around Jerusalem that pulls in all this pain and refills the soup bowl for that fallen angel and his demons. But Dan, it's the Holy Land. Yeah, you know, let's talk about Holy Land, because I think Christ would explain to you how that's kind of retarded too. I bring this up so much, but there's no proof against it. When the devil offered all the lands and peoples and cows, all the gold and cocaine to Jesus when Jesus was in the desert, Jesus turned it down. Why? Because this is not Eden, this isn't heaven, this isn't hell, it's not the kingdom. This is literally the Middle Earth, and it's basically fuck around, find out, die, and turn to dust. There is no land on planet Earth, and you need to listen to what I'm saying. You know, it's like that book I just finished reading about the Washington State Department of Transportation project here in Port Angeles in the early 2000s. You know, you dig up any part of this world, you're going to find bones, either literal human bones or the remnants and the representations of the damage we do. Okay? And there's no burying it. You can have a guy like Aldwell come along and build a 50 lumber mills on top of it, and the truth will break through. It will. The truth is, there isn't one scrap of this whole world that is holy in the sense that somehow no evil ever occurs. There's no place like that. There are places that are respected. There are places that are sacred. There are places that have purpose to culture. But if you tell me that a scoop of dirt is holy in the way that the average evangelical means it, then the answer is no. No. No scoop of dirt in Jerusalem, no scoop of dirt definitely in the city of Rome. That does not exist. It has no mass. That is what the devil was trying to sell to Jesus. This is where you're wrong. If you use the phrase holy land, then basically you're refuting the argument of Christ, and you're basically promoting the argument of the devil. That there's actual pieces of land here on planet Boblimpdoc that have the mass of holiness? And the answer is no. And no amount of murder and death and slaughter will ever make it holy. And I'm sorry. And here's the thing. If you want to try to translate this into Dan hates Jewish people, the answer is I don't want to hate anybody. There are people right now that anger me. The government of Israel angers me to the point that if I had the power of God, I would wipe them out. I would take all their nukes and send them to the edge of the universe. I would take all their guns and all their bullets. I would force the state of Israel to deal with its neighbors and accept the consequences if I had the power of God. If I had the power of God, I would take the Trumpity Blumps and the J.D. Trances and the Bidens. Well, I think he's dead, right? Which one? Who knows? I'd take the Klamalas and the Glamalas, all of them. The Lib Progs, all these douchebags, all these fakers. I would put them on a ship, and then I'd let it sink into the ocean surrounded by sharks. All of them. Every pedophile, every scumbag that is poisoning the land on purpose, everybody involved in the geoengineering, I would put them in a ship and I would sink it right in a place where we made sure we chummed the water for sharks. Which means these are not Christian things. These are very much because, you know, we're humans and we're not perfect, so we have to accept consequences. You know, it's like if the Uncle Ukulele death camp in El Salvador is real, then you have to accept a couple of those people that we send there are probably going to just be innocent homeless, every once in a while a homeless veteran. So I have to accept that I would do that. And also, then I have to get back to this whole idea of, do you make the world better by taking your suffering and directing it at others? Does the world improve by us practicing the ancient human, very human custom of revenge? Oh yeah, that goes right back. You know, you remember Cain and Abel? You remember Cain and Abel? You remember the first murder? And in the context of the chosen people of Abraham and his children, that pattern didn't stop very soon. There was lots of envy and lots of murder and lots of putting your brother in a fucking hole, you know? We know of a few such cases, but I think there's many such cases of people, families, turning against each other for the things of the earth that they think are holy. They looked towards the Canaanites, and they had a fancy king and a fancy queen and a fancy army. So they turned towards Samuel and say, "Hey, Sam, can you give us a fancy king and a fancy army so we can have fancy mines where we mine copper, we make bronze to have fancy statues?" Because the land is holy, right? The ground, the earth, the rock, the bronze, the gold, the Tesla. It's holy, right? Or maybe it's just a lot of shit that eventually is gonna turn to fucking dust, baby. So I've had a realization, and I don't really want to do the Dr. Freckles quote because it's a little bit too big, but I've come to the realization that the reason why people associate Friedrich Nietzsche with anti-Semitism, which is kind of bullshit. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Nietzsche and Wagner were friends. And one of the reasons why they separated ways, a lot like that kind of, you know, Sigmund Freud, you know, Carl Jung thing, one of the reasons why they broke up is because Nietzsche did not like the kind of triumphalist, kind of racist views of Wagner. Keep in mind that they were in the prime of their life intellectually about the time that a new country, a country that never existed before, had recently come into existence called Germany. There was never a Germany before Bismarck. There were a bunch of little German states, but there wasn't a big country called Germany. But believe you me, the Prussians were going to have a voice on that issue. So the truth is, I don't think Nietzsche was racist, and when people talk about the Superman shit, they need to understand a lot of that is about overcoming bullshit, like getting over ourselves in the sense that we, okay, for example, and Nietzsche talks about suffering a lot. instead of internalizing our suffering or externalizing it, like it's a binary, you can either cut yourself or cut others, Nietzsche proposes in many such cases to just let it fucking go. And in that sense, he's cribbing off of Christ a bit. You know, he really is. He's not the first. He wouldn't be the last. But let it go. Let the anger and the hate go. It's hard. It's hard. And I don't do a great job of it, obviously. But I will say this in my own defense. Even though I understand cutting, I try not to cut in that figurative sense because I think I do things that are self-harm. I do. But I also have a goal of getting out of that. Like, you know, in the last few months, I have tried to make some choices to improve my outcomes. I have a hard time believing it, and I get frustrated. And yeah, I think I, like a lot of people these days, practice self-harm. Because if I can't direct my rage at the people I think deserve it, then why not just direct it at myself? But that is self-destructive. It's slow-motion suicide, basically. No, I think the thing that pissed off a lot of people about Nietzsche is he said, get over the cult of suffering. Break free of that. Break free of it. I don't know. I have a couple Dr. Freckles quotes that rub it in, and it's like, I don't really want to rub it in, but this is just... Okay, so let's talk about Albert Speer again. Albert Speer took control of the German economy in 1942. There are a few historians who would argue that after the defeat at Stalingrad, which came, you know, a year later, or almost a year later, that if Albert Speer had not been there, things would have turned out the same, but much more rapidly. Instead of 1945 being the last year of the war, 1943 or maybe early 44, could have been the end for Germany. But Albert Speer did a lot of stuff. He rationalized production. He was able to direct resources where they needed to go. He was this kind of reasonable person. That doesn't mean he was a good person. And I don't know how much he either loved or hated Jews. To tell you the truth, a lot of these pieces of crap reinvented themselves after the war. He could have been brilliant and also a piece of crap. Can we just leave it at that, folks? Never met the guy, probably wouldn't want to, probably wouldn't like me, probably wouldn't like him. And I think he's dead anyways, right? He'd be old, he'd be real old. But, you know, Albert Speer takes control of the economy. Now, at the same time in 42, early 42, you have the famous, the infamous Wannsee Conference, where, you know, Adolf Eichmann and all the geniuses of murder figured out the final solution. We're going to round a lot of people up. We're going to put them in giant camps. We'll break down the various ghettos and send them there. We'll be operating 24/7, burning bodies and killing them in gas chambers. In 42, like I said, if Speer hadn't been there to fix things, and things were really broken, most people do not understand that Germany didn't really go to a total war economy until 1942. It operated on what was kind of like the Prussian style, which means go to war, demobilize, go to war, demobilize. They did not have the intention to practice total war until 1942. So if you're in a state of total war, your resources are getting cut off, including oil and rubber and other materials that are absolutely necessary to a modern technological war machine, are you going to support the final solution? Does it make any sense? Listen, you can feed people the pigs. And if you think that that's a new idea, no, I'm sorry. It's another one of those old ideas like using famines to kill people or blaming the poor is why the building's on fire. You can always blame a poor person for that, believe you me. You can feed people the pigs. You can avoid the first layer of cannibalism by simply feeding people the pigs. So Albert Speer, being a good German, would have probably just fed them the pigs. Or he would have made some resource out of them. I don't know when biodiesel as a concept was invented, but my guess is the Germans could have made it work. You would have done that. He would have done 50 other things. Why would he do this? And the answer is, well, he hated them so much. No. Listen, the Nazis hated the Soviets, but if they did this in the context of the Eastern Front, like I said, 43, the war could have been over. So the question you have to ask with respect to the Holocaust and Albert Speer is, does it make sense? Can there be an Albert Speer who takes the 70% of the German economy, the German society directed at the Eastern Front, 70%, would he slice off a portion of that so that they could have their fancy, weird, monkey time Holocaust bullshit? And my answer is probably not. That circus does not hunt. It doesn't. It would be an absurd flying circus of bullshit. And yes, it would be evil, quite evil. But the problem is, maybe the Israelis think dropping 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile is a genius move. There's not a German general worth his salt from World War II, Luftwaffe or otherwise, who would agree. It's retarded. And so the question is, would Albert Speer do something that fucking retarded? And the answer is probably not. Probably not. Dan, that doesn't prove nothing. No, but it does prove that the foundations of this myth that gets repeated all the fucking time. Why? Because there's no way we would remember the 6 million unless we're constantly told about the fucking 6 million, right? No. We have to be told. I don't know. I know that I absolutely beat up on this issue a lot in the last couple podcasts, but it's been a kind of revelation. I have a link, because I've read these stories before on previous podcasts, I'm going to choose not to, but there's two interesting events related to Wounded Knee. There's obviously the slaughter in 1890, but there's also the American Indian Movement. In the 1970s, I think it was 1973, early 73, the American Indian Movement occupied Wounded Knee, the Wounded Knee site, and stood up for the rights of the Oglala Sioux, and yeah. In 1890, obviously, a bunch of Native Americans were murdered at Wounded Knee. I'm not going to read both of these stories. I'm going to ask you to think about them in the context of the Holocaust and ask yourself a simple question. Do we understand or revere what happened to the Native Americans just in America itself the way that we revere and remember the Holocaust? Do we? Do we have a memory of it? Do we have a memory of almost wiping out an entire people completely? Almost. And the remnant that was left with a lot of damage and abuse. The reality is the abuse didn't end until quite recently, and you still have a problem of young women, I think mostly young indigenous women, being murdered and abducted, which is weird and gross, and it seems like nobody cares. So I want you guys, if you have a chance, to think on this story, and I'm not saying you have to cry a river. I'm asking you to meditate on why it is when we think about the world, we're told to think about the Holocaust first, even before, and I've said this to people, even before we learn to read, we're told the story of the Holocaust. But the reality is these stories are ancient and they're everywhere, and there is not one square inch of this earth, not one square inch, that at some point probably didn't soak up human blood. That's basically my belief. It's why I say people who go around saying, holy, it's yeah, there's a word for it. And the earth could be a garden. It shit ain't never going to be Eden. Never. The more we try to make it Eden, the more Wounded Knees we get. The more we try to make it Eden, the more Gazas we get. The more we try to make it Eden, the more Great Leaps Forwards and Pol Pots and all kinds of other Jim Jones bullshit we get. This place is never going to be Eden. But if we had common sense and we actually were able to live the kingdom life, it could be a garden. Probably might be too late, really, though. Like, that epic is probably almost over. You know, well, let's just put it that way. Nobody suffers as much as Jewish people. That is what I've been told my whole life. If you're Jewish, you suffer the most. And people who don't believe that hate Jewish people. And if you mutter the magic word Holocaust, you can do anything. You can murder anybody if you mutter that magic word. Just say Holocaust. Just say Holocaust. Just mention the word Holocaust. And you can just do whatever you want, to include raping children. And if you believe that's okay, that's your defect, not mine. And if you think there is holy land on planet Earth, then you are a Canaanite Phoenician type. You probably would build a bronze bull and you'd probably cook babies because you don't understand. All of this turns to dust. None of it can be used to wager with God or to bet with God or to buy God. Understand, there's no wealth you can build that can purchase your soul. The only act that was ever needed was for the Lord in heaven to sacrifice his only son. That is the payment. And the Lord made it with his own son for you. No amount of gold changes that or reverses it, really. Now I have a very dark Dr. Freckles quote. Yeah. So there are a lot of interesting people on Twitter. And I know I said, Dan, you said you're never going, I'm never paying for it again. And that is true. But I did create about a half a dozen sock puppets. And I don't know. It turns out that you can have a lot of fun for free, even if you're deeply stepped on. But that's it. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Hookers don't get fired. They get buried. Hookers don't lose their jobs. They lose their teeth. And then they get put in a drum and taken out to the Pine Barrens. Yeah, that's terrible, Dan. But think on this for a second. We are in a brutal place, and we've been there for a while. You know, people say, Dan, it's all recent. Mega Man's gonna what? Pick the fucking decade, shithead. If you say the 1990s, you know, again, go fuck yourself. If you say the 1950s, go fuck yourself. What is this magical fucking decade that Mega Man's gonna push a button and send you back to? The truth is, you're a fucking idiot. And if there was a magical decade where you think or believe America was best, I can guarantee fucking to you there was shit happening in the background. And so somebody was having a bad fucking day. Hookers don't get fired, they get buried, get real, move on, next topic, right? So I was going to read I'm going to read an article. And keep in mind, as a disclaimer, I do not believe in the global warming climate change myth per se. I think it's a kind of a smokescreen. I think it's classic, really. The fact that people can't see through it. It's sort of like all these bullshit Tesla, BLM Antifa type bullshit from 2020 being reprised. If you can't see through the PSYOP bullshit, I can't help you. You know, if you see the Tesla bullshit as being real, I can't fucking help you. You've got some problems. So I think the climate change, global warming stuff is bullshit, and it's the old story. And I repeat it so you understand the next time a city like LA burns, and they did this, they brainstormed this 5 seconds after the fire, you know, find a hobo with a Bic lighter. So the next time the building's aflame, you'll know they'll find some poor people to blame. That is global warming. That is climate change. They have been guilt-tripping ordinary people for most of my adult life. And the truth is probably the opposite, which is to say that if something went wrong, it is highly unlikely it was the poors, the ordinary people, that triggered it. But boy, do the people in positions of power love to blame the poor people. Isn't that awesome? In the late 1980s, when the Soviet Union was in collapse, a lot of middle management people sensed it. And so they started writing little white papers, you know, and talking about perestroika and glasnost and all kinds of other stuff, you know, theorizing on, hey, could we be kinder, gentler communists? One of the reasons they were doing this is they saw, you know, in that book of Daniel sense, the handwriting on the wall. They knew the Soviet Union was going away, even if the CIA didn't, and chances are they did, they knew that the Soviet Union was going away. So they were covering their asses. When permafrost collapse, or the clathrate gun, was proposed about 20-plus years ago, and frankly, it goes back further than that, it was ridiculed. It was attacked. And back then, people barely spoke about methane. Up until about 10, 15 years ago, it was all CO2, 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 and natural gas was just like the clean, magical alternative to burning the oil, blah, blah, blah. Up until about 15 years ago, nobody talked about methane. And by the way, almost nobody's talking about nitrous oxide, if you know, you know. Interesting Sovietological topics. Also, what happened in the last two decades, they redefined the word permafrost. Permafrost used to mean permanently frozen, and permanent used to mean a lot fucking longer than 2 years, pretty much forever. When permafrost was explained to me in college, the way they explained it is, hey, you can cut off a piece of that woolly mammoth that's 12,000 years old and eat it. Because some people had done that. That's permafrost. It doesn't thaw out for a couple years and then refreeze again. If it did that, there wouldn't be no meat left, buddy. Not over 12,000 years. I'm sorry. That only takes about a year. That doesn't take 12,000 years. If you're only frozen for a couple years, let's say out of 12,000, you were unfrozen for just 2 years. Yeah, there'd be no meat left. So there's a lot of stuff that has been rewritten and redefined. And as Sovietologists, you need to be sensitive to that. So I'm going to read this article and then we'll talk about it. The title of the article is Discovery of Immense Methane Leaks in Antarctica, published on March the 21st, 2025, written by Robert Hunziker. A new discovery of methane leaks in Antarctica could be a game changer and potential near-term threat that's difficult to characterize without sounding overly negative. Of course, situations like this that appear threatening to civilization or life as we know it are difficult to believe and accept as something that something will really happen. Which is understandable because nothing in human history compares to the risk attendant to the dreaded runaway greenhouse effect. So there's nothing in human history to compare to it, or it to. Nevertheless, there are scientists who believe we are living on borrowed time because of massive changes happening at the top and the bottom of the planet, where only scientists and indigenous people hang out, huh? Now, this new discovery serves to emphasize their concerns of a climate monster capable of altering everything, lurking in the background. The threat is explained in a YouTube video, Immense Methane Leaks in Antarctica, a Hidden Climate Threat Unveiled, by Phantom Ecology, which is headed by Milton Muldrow, PhD assistant professor at Wilmington University and chair College of Arts and Sciences. As a prelude to this new information, it's important to note that Russian scientists have been monitoring the risks of methane breakouts in the high Arctic for a couple of decades and have voiced concern about the risks of a sudden burst as undersea methane clathrates increasingly melt, bubbling to the surface in ever larger diameters, which they have measured. As it happens, methane is many times more potent than CO2 at trapping excessive global heat. It's over 10 years, it's 200 times. Additionally, the risk of methane breakout is mentioned by Peter Wadhams, Emeritus Professor, Ocean Physics, University of Cambridge, in his celebrated brilliant interview, The Future of Sea Level Rise. And I quote, Russian scientists working in the region believe a huge pulse of methane could erupt. This could crank up global temperatures to ultra-dangerous levels in as little as 2 to 3 years. The consequences would be unspeakable. And with Antarctica joining, the game changes. As a science researcher writer of over 400 articles, this new development is extraordinarily spooky and difficult to accept because the consequences feel way too close for comfort. Stated at the opening of the Phantom Ecology video, deep beneath the icy plains of Antarctica, a slumbering giant is beginning to stir. Scientists have made a startling discovery. Vast reservoirs of methane hydrates locked away for millennia are showing signs of instability. The finding sent ripples of concern throughout the world of science. The consequences for the planet would be quite dangerous, maybe sooner rather than later. Rising plumes of methane near the Antarctic Peninsula raises a major concern that trapped methane will be released into the atmosphere. exacerbating an already dire situation of accelerating global temperatures. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, Maginot line of 1.5 Celsius above pre-industrial, not to be exceeded, as framed at the Paris 2015 climate conference by nearly all the nations of the world, is kaput. To date, global temperatures have been exceeding that level for nearly 2 years running. Meanwhile, world-famous climate scientist James Hansen, Earth Institute, Columbia University, says 2 degrees centigrade is on the horizon. The pace of global heating has been significantly underestimated, according to renowned climate scientist Professor James Hansen, who said the international 2 Celsius target is dead. Climate change target of 2C is dead. It's a huge understatement to say this would be horrendous for Antarctic methane leaks, including Siberian methane leaks and Alaskan methane leaks, as well as glacial methane leaks. The volume of methane locked away in the Antarctic ice is estimated to be more carbon than all other fuel deposits combined for the planet. A small fraction of this escaping into the atmosphere could have catastrophic consequences for the climate system in the not-too-distant future. I'm going to stop here because this is a long article, and I've talked about this issue before, but I think we got through the guts of it. Like I said, in the late 1980s, if you were an apparatchik in the middle levels of the Soviet bureaucracy, you would probably try to get a few papers published in the West talking about how, oh, I see the rot, and these capitalists have some good ideas, and that quality control stuff, that Deming, man, he thought some things. If you looked at the Soviet white papers of the late 80s, you would find people covering their butts, covering their asses, figuring out ways to show people, look at me, look at me, look at me. I was not the problem. What you're seeing right now, and it's been more or less since 2020, but accelerating the last couple years, is a lot of people publishing stuff that says, oh, you know how we said it was going to happen in 100 years? Huh, you know, it's already happening. And I know, I bring up this Dr. Freckles quote a lot, but it's a good Dr. Freckles quote. If the government tells you something's going to happen in 100 years, you know one of two things is true. Either A, it will never happen, or B, it's already happening. I'm a Christian, right? Not a very good one right now. My relationship with God is very shaky. The one thing I need to be able to do is the one thing I can't do. The one thing that represents the foundation of our faith, which is the power of forgiveness, is the one thing that is hard for me right now. So I'm not doing a great job. But I still believe in God. And there's nothing about Venus syndrome that equates to anything I've read in prophecy. However, if we lived in a time where they were telling us we could end up in Venus syndrome, that would match some prophecy. It would. And the fact is, there are boiling seas. Right now, the Arctic is boiling with methane. And if you go up there, it probably smells nasty. Probably it's a combination of methane and hydrogen sulfide at times. A lot of nasty. It gets bad in the summer, probably. But I don't know if it completely relents in the winter at this point. There have been fires around the Arctic Circle, if you believe what they tell us, that are not going out. Zombie fires in Canada, Siberia, everywhere around the Arctic Circle that are not going out. In wintertime, they're not going out. They smolder beneath the surface, but in some cases, they start raging again in the middle of fucking winter. A few weeks ago, it was raining around the Arctic Circle. At the same time, there was a snowstorm in New Orleans. Now, I know you want to believe what you want to believe. I will tell you, I believe they are geoengineering. I think the New Orleans thing was a scam. But again, it's a scam that buys them time. If they can convince you that nothing's happening, then you're not going to do shit. And if they can give you a lot of theatrical bullshit to focus on, Mega Man crap, fucking Tesla's being keyed, if they can give you nonsense just like 2020 to focus on, if they can give you lesser catastrophes, then what they're doing is working. It's succeeding. And if there is no God, and if in fact what we've been told about the permafrost, well, what we used to get told was true, then a scenario like this would be the end of the world, and it wouldn't be a century away. It would be more like about 10 years away, at best, maybe 5 to 10. Other people, you know, smarter than me have worked this out. This process, this positive feedback, is not linear, and it happens way faster than anybody wants to admit. And it looks like it's accelerating, and it looks like a lot of the people who made fun of the clathrate gun, which is another name for this whole thing, a lot of those people are starting to say, hey, maybe we were wrong. This is not a good sign from a Sovietology perspective. It's basically what you see. When you are afraid of backlash, when you're afraid that you're going to be blamed, what you're going to do is publish a white paper saying, look what I said, look what I said. Which means we're in the window. And maybe it isn't exactly the 5 years of Boblimpdoc that leads up to it, but we'll see. Anyways, if you want to write it all off as bullshit narrative, that's your option too. But keep in mind, this isn't about ordinary people driving cars and eating cheeseburgers. This is way bigger than that. The fact that they gave you that reality in the late 80s is part of the snow job. It's uglier and frankly more uncontrollable. They tell you maybe we can geoengineer. They tell you that because we've been doing it probably since World War II. And it's probably not working at this point. They probably started at the poles, the North and South Pole. And when that strategy started to fail, they had to move it, you know, north and south, so to speak. They had to give people their fake weather, or at least give certain people their fake weather. But there's a good chance it's going to stop working. Or another way of putting it, in order for it to keep working, they're going to reach a level of toxicity in the atmosphere, COVID, that's going to cause people to drop dead and exhibit symptoms that are a lot like a really bad flu. Wow. You ever think on that, brothers and sisters, about how maybe 2020 was the first year they had to up the formula? And up next is the last topic, you know, the very, very last topic, but I'm going to drink a little bit of coffee before I get into the last topic, you know. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and this is a good way to end things, because, Dan, you've been so negative talking about Jewish suffering. You know why I'm talking about Jewish suffering? Because we have all been talking about it my whole fucking life. All of it, but without any irony. Without any sense of how it might just be a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, I guess I'm talking about it. What I'm doing now is no longer giving it any fucking power. It has zero power. After 10-7, its power has been drained. I don't know the truth of what's going on in Gaza. I don't even know if they really dropped one bomb. It all looks so foolish and stupid. It could be part of the same, you know, Boblimpdoc. One big fucking show. All of it fake as fuck until the real thing shows up. You know, until the divorce lawyer shows up, you know? Give the kids a movie to watch. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If I plant a tree, I don't care if it grows taller than me. If I plant a tree in the springtime, and in 5 winters, it's taller than me, that's okay. What does that mean, Dan? Well, actually, it's conceptually. It's not that original. And I'm guessing that anyone who's ever been a parent, and I've never been a parent, but anyone who's ever had kids, if you're decent and you have a soul, I don't care if you were abused. If you were abused and you figured out a way to be a kind parent, then you're like, you're not just doing it right, but you're actually helping to heal the world. Because so many people, and this gets back to the core topic, so many people will plant a tree and then step on it and injure it. And it grows warped, and they say, why did it grow warped? So they hit it again, and they punch it, and they steal, and they take, and there's nothing left, and it never grows. It just dies. And there are a lot of kids whose parents treat them like that. There are a lot of kids that society treats like that. They treat like garbage, and so they don't really grow, and then they die too soon, and then we all say, where are all the trees? You got Papa Blump. And Mr. Gusky Gus, oh, why don't we have no more trees? These fuckers don't even know how to plant a fucking tree. Oh, yeah, they can get a woman pregnant. That's, you know, lots of really creepy people can get random people pregnant. But they don't know how to plant a tree. If you plant a tree, but you don't want it to be taller than yourself, then you'll cut at it like it's a bonsai tree. And if you do this to people, you damage them. And in worst case scenarios, they will grow up one day and they'll do the same thing to their kids. And that suffering gets poured into that magic soup bowl someplace near Jerusalem. And that particular fallen angel gets to drink the wine of despair till the end of time. But if you can overcome, make it to life, make it to adulthood, overcome being stepped on and cut at, and having nails driven into you, if you can overcome being a tree that was planted by people that were not very good arborists or whatever you want to say, they were terrible people, but you can overcome it and you can plant a tree and watch that tree grow taller than you. I don't know what that feels like, but I'm guessing it might be the greatest feeling in the whole fucking world. If you can overcome your bullshit and decide you're not going to share the evil but try to share what's good, if you can overcome the torture and the suffering and instead try to bring peace and healing, if you can get past all the bullshit, including the guilt trips and, you know, the immensely powerful, you know, Jewish suffering, if you can get past all that and turn your back to the deliberate harming of poor people because they're poor and because they're sitting on a piece of property you want to rip off. If you can turn your back on revenge schemes and violence pyramids and all kinds of military-industrial complex bullshit, if you can plant a tree and be brave and courageous and loving to know that if you're lucky, that tree will grow taller than you ever grew, ever, then you're doing it right. You know what it means to live on this world, that the land itself is not holy, but there are things we can do in this world that are holy. Are we learning? It is Sunday, 7 a.m., March the 30th, 2025, Boblimpdoc. Go plant a tree. Sometimes it's, you know, raising a family. Sometimes it's helping out. Sometimes it's watching somebody's kids. Sometimes it's just being there to support young people and say, you can do it. Sometimes it's a lot of little things. But if you can plant a tree and nurture a tree versus abusing a tree and wanting it to fail, that's a great thing. Yeah, probably a parent gets to experience that the best, but there's a lot of us in society, especially if we lived in a free society, that can do our part. And sometimes it's not kids growing up. Sometimes it's starting a business. Sometimes it's starting a business. You're planting a tree. And guess what? If the business is successful, one day you will retire. One day someone younger than you will take control. And if you are a good person, that would make you proud. If you plant a tree, you want it to grow to the sky. If you plant a tree, you want it to represent goodness. If you plant a tree. Have a great rest of your Sunday.